First meeting, regular meeting of the Fredericksburg City Council for the month of May 2026. Thank you for being here. Would you please stand for the invocation delivered by Alan Littman from First Baptist Church and remain standing for the pledges. Thank you.
Good morning, Mayor and Council members. Please pray with me. Thank you, Lord, for this time we have to gather together to serve you. Please help all our decisions to reflect your will. Thank you for the opportunities we have in this community, this state, and this country. Thank you for the rain and the cool weather. Thank you for the blessings we have here. And please guide all of our actions to reflect your glory. We ask these things in your name. Amen.
Thank you, Alan. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag.
I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
We have a couple of very pleasant ceremonial recognitions this morning. So let's start with the recognition of the Finance Department in receiving a GFOA award for the, I don't know, sixth, seventh, tenth time in a row, whatever it is. And I'm going to come down and read it, and I'm going to ask the department to come up for a photograph, please, for our permanent records. And then the proclamation and recognition of the 57th Annual Professional Municipal Clerks Week. So, Finance Department, would you join me?
Good morning. So this morning I would like to recognize and thank this wonderful group of Finance Department employees for an exceptional achievement. For the 10th consecutive year, the City of Fredericksburg has received the Government Finance Officers Association's Distinguished Budget Presentation Award. This national honor reflects our city's continued commitment to transparency, accountability, and excellence in budgeting. So to earn this award, the city met rigorous national standards, demonstrating that our budget functions as a clear policy document, a financial plan, operations guide, and communication tool. So on behalf of the City Council and the community, I extend sincere thanks to all of you, to our Finance Department for your professionalism and dedication, and congratulations on this well-deserved recognition. Here is a very heavy plaque. Distinguished Budget Presentation of the City of Fredericksburg. And it has all the years listed here. So, do you have the button for 25 yet?
Not yet.
Okay.
So it'll soon.
All right. So,
be placed on there.
Would you mind holding this with me? And Alyssa, somebody? Oh, Mackenzie. Okay. Y'all move in, get a nice photograph. Wait a minute, Mackenzie. Hold it. Okay. There we go. Kim, you don't like me?
All right. 1, 2.
And I can tell you that in all my years of budgeting, this finance department has been terrific, not just these people, but all the ones I've worked with and how important they are to keeping us on track. And another proclamation this morning to recognize the 57th Annual Municipal Clerks Week. The profession of the municipal clerk is a vital role and essential to the effective functioning of local government in Texas and throughout the world. It ensures transparency, accountability, and the smooth operation of municipal services, much like the finance department. It is among the oldest professions in the public sector. It is required, obviously, to function well. The municipal clerk is always mindful in serving as the executive link between the citizens, the local governing bodies, and the agency at all levels. Listen to what they do. They serve as the records management officer of the city, preserving and managing vital documents, facilitating public information requests, which has exploded over the last several years, and of course, overseeing municipal elections, providing legislative support, and ensuring compliance with all the laws and regulations. Whereas the municipal court clerk demonstrates exceptional dedication, professionalism, and integrity, going above and beyond to serve the community, which I can attest to. Whereas the Texas Municipal Clerks Association is represented by one municipal clerk per city and assistants and deputies who all contribute significantly. It is fitting that the City of Fredericksburg take this opportunity to honor and thank our municipal clerk, Leticia Vasek, otherwise known as Letty, for her ongoing dedication, knowledge, and exemplary services. So it's my pleasure as mayor to proclaim the week of May 3rd, 2026, as the 57th Annual Municipal Clerks Week. Laurie, come on up and let's take, make it, we're going to take one of Laurie. Since she's here and all dressed up. Thank you. Thank you, ladies. Thank you for your service to us. Yeah.
Council comments.
Good morning. Excuse me.
Excuse me.
Me also. Good morning. Congratulations to Tony, Randy, and Gary on the election. I had two CVB meetings last week, and I attended the town hall. Thank you, Bobby, for hosting.
I came late, left early, but I attended, Bobby. They had a good turnout. A lot of people with a lot of comments, and that's what it's all about. I do want to report a little bit, although we do have two commissioners here, they may correct me, but the commissioners' meetings that they've had, one of the issues, if you're not aware of, and remember, the treasurer's position is elected official position, and the commissioners or the judge can't necessarily just do something, fire or whatever it may be, or replace. But the county, as you're well aware of, has had a lower bond rating because of the treasury's position. That's why we're thankful with our finance. You got to make sure to take care of business. So they're working on that, and I'm sure it'll be worked out before long. I do want to thank everybody for turning out the vote. I think the county had about 20 or 25% turnout, which is good. The city, I think, had probably 2,000 votes, which is a lot better than last year, but we do want to thank everybody for taking the time, and I certainly want to thank you personally.
Right. Congrats on those who won the election. I'm still up here for one more meeting, so here I am. Happy Travel and Tourism Week, happy Small Business Week, and happy Economic Development Week. It's a busy week in Texas. It has been a high honor to serve these last 4 years on council. It has always been about the people, and we have some wonderful people in this community. So thank you for allowing me to serve, and I wish you all the best.
Congratulations to everyone that won the election. On April 13th, I attended the Parks, Fredericksburg Parks Foundation Board meeting. On the 16th, Chamber of Commerce Fun After Five at Watley Wine. On the 17th, attended the EDC meeting. Still busy, but it has slowed some. Real estate market, the last quarter was the best quarter that we've had since 2021 in both numbers and unit, dollar amount and units sold. 71 STRs are on the market, and the large majority of STRs that have sold recently have reverted to residences. On the 21st, I wasn't in attendance, but the airport board, airport advisory board meeting met. As y'all probably saw, on April 23rd through the 25th, the T6 fly-in, they were doing formations all around town. In September, there'll be a Cessna 120 and 140 association meeting with approximately 40 aircraft. T6 T-Hangers, we're at 100% occupancy with 37 on the wait list. And the first quarter operating results are, we had, in 2025, we had 8,322 operations. That includes takeoff, landings, and fly-arounds. In 2026, we had 12,070. That's an increase almost 3,800 over last year. The FBO is still very busy. Starting tonight is the Chamber of Commerce Restaurant Week. There are events being held every night through Friday. On the 9th is the Lincoln Street Makers Market.
Oh, thank you.
Wow, I'm loud now.
Yeah.
On the and I attended the town hall meeting, neighborhood town hall meeting on the 29th, which is at my house. So, thank you all very much.
I want to add my congratulations to the winners as well. This will be my last meeting to preside over, and it's been a pleasure. And I thank those of you who supported me for 4 elections and also gave me good advice and counsel through the years. I wish you all the best, too, and I continue to wish our city all the best. We're in good hands. Council, I would like to adjourn the meeting today, get through the agenda and adjourn the meeting no later than 10:30 to accommodate the presence at a funeral of one of our staff members who passed away. The funeral is today at 11, and I want to make sure that those who want to go will be able to go and not miss any of the functions of City Council. So I want to, won't be in a hurry and rush things, but we will move along at a rapid rate. We have a consent agenda here with several items. Approval of the minutes of April 7th, some street closures that are, I'm told, are very routine. The approval of Whitney Long as the local rabies control authority. We're required to appoint one. The name change for the United Soccer, Hill Country United Soccer, for the use of Oak Crest Park. Approval of the assessment collection of general, the GCAD property taxes. A routine renewal of a contract and approval of a contract modification for geosynthetic systems for our liner construction at the landfill. You've read these items in annotation.
Just a note that 6B has been pulled, the street closure for the Kraut Run.
Oh, you gave me an updated agenda. I'm sorry. Thank you. B has been pulled for the Kraut Run because of some other discussions that need to be held about it. Okay, thank you, Emily, for that. So all but B, would you like to do this as a consent agenda package?
Make a motion to approve.
Second.
Motion second to approve. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. 7A is ordinances and resolutions and public hearings. This is consider and approve a budget amendment item to the fiscal year 2026. We do this every year as well, about this time, I think, and ending September 30th of this year, providing for amended appropriations for each affected departmental account. And I'll turn it over to Krista Wareham, our finance director.
Good morning, Mayor and Council. Staff is requesting Council approval of the fiscal year 2026 mid-year budget amendments. The proposed amendments primarily reflect prior year carryovers, timing adjustments for previously approved items, and limited or new corrected line items needing support for ongoing operations. Key areas impacted, general fund for new City Hall construction, technology, access control, signage carryovers, and a mid-year municipal court staffing adjustment. Enterprise funds impacted allocated costs for new City Hall construction, technology, access control, and signage carryover. There is an electric bucket truck that was previously approved in fiscal year 2023 that required a budget amendment that was actually done in fiscal year 2023, but is now, of course, expired because the bucket truck didn't arrive until just now. So in order to pay for this truck, we'll need the budget amendment. Cogent Bank is covering the $200,000 that was financed back in 23, so we're paying the difference, and we will have Cogent Bank paid off this year. Let's see. And then West Live Oak, there's a project for carryover cost. And then for sanitation, we have the additional professional fees and costs related to the liners and construction. So staff is recommending approval of the budget amendments as presented. Detailed support is included in Exhibit A for council review and questions.
By far, most of this is carryover for City Hall.
Yes.
Remodeling, so forth.
Krista, how does this trend with normal mid-year budgets? Is this lower than normal?
No, it is a bit higher, but we did have savings in last year's budget because of these expenses and the timing not rolling over until this year.
I'll make a motion to approve as presented.
Second.
A motion and second to approve as presented. Any further discussion or questions? All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay. Thank you, Krista.
Thank you.
Item 8A has been pulled as well until we get some further information on that item. Item 8B, consideration and action regarding request P2425, a development plat for 405 Gaiman Lane by Lantana Owner LLC, including discussion and possible action on the Frederick Road Alignment Evaluation Study and Development Agreement. I see we have an update by city staff. Is that you, Chris?
I believe Cliff will start this one.
Okay. Yeah, I think I'll start this one. Good morning, Mayor and City Council. So as you recall, on April 7th, this came before you for consideration in association with the original development plat that was approved by PNZ with the condition that there be some consideration of an alternate thoroughfare route out there off of Frederick. So what happened then, obviously the item was tabled. There was some discussion about any potential annexation, any agreement associated with an annexation, because some of the concerns that were brought up during that meeting were associated with the zoning, the development itself, the regulatory control that staff would have. So today, what we brought back before you, we've talked to the developer about a pre-annexation agreement. We've gone back and forth. We've got some elements associated with that pre-annexation agreement to regulate the control associated with the development plat, the land use, and ultimately the construction standards associated with that development. So what we brought to you today are two potential actions. The first action would be the condition to accept an arterial roadway or thoroughfare alternative associated with the thoroughfare plan that was adopted as part of your comprehensive plan. And then the second potential action is associated with the development agreement. As identified in your staff report, the biggest concern that the planning staff has at this point is we want to ensure consistency with our comprehensive plan. So we feel that an action needs to take place to accept an alternate route to that thoroughfare plan or an amendment to the comprehensive plan before we really get into the weeds of the development agreement itself. I know the developer is here, and I think he's going to address some questions that you may have and respond to some of the concerns. But in terms of the actual actions today, we feel that you need to take action on the thoroughfare plan before you can even go to the development agreement. You got to check box A before you go to B at this point. So we'll let the developer come up here, and then I'd be happy to answer any questions that you
have. Chris, did you need to add anything to that?
No, sir, not at this time.
Okay. Mr. Radovan, do you want to address the council?
Yes, good morning. Thank you. Yes, we did work with city staff and city attorney to put together development and annexation agreement, and we did get that our completed version sent on Thursday afternoon. And what we would like to request at this point is be tabled till the next meeting so that we can basically go through that with city staff as it was just delivered on Thursday afternoon. And just I don't think we'd like to have a little more time to have those discussions.
I'm going to ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
Because I'm asked it all the time. When you purchased this property and you had the plans for this development, I've never done what you do. So this is a question of education as well as your specific issue. Were you aware of this thoroughfare plan through the property?
We were made aware of it towards the end, towards closing, yes.
Okay. So in your development, in your plat, it appears that it is in conflict with the thoroughfare plan, correct? And in other words, a road through there is not congruent with your plans for how you want to develop it.
Correct.
Okay. So was your plan all along to seek a thoroughfare difference and felt like that would probably be an appropriate step that the council would take regarding the significance of the project?
Well,
how did you view it?
In looking at how the comprehensive plan works and the thoroughfare plan works, basically those are guidelines, states in those documents, this is not zoning. It is not meant to show exact right-of-way. It is there to show the general pathways, but not directly in this path. That's what's in the comprehensive plan and the thoroughfare plan.
Yeah. And this is not a challenge. It really is a question. I'm not challenging. Did you seek advice from city attorney or anybody in the development department about the chances of this changing or the council changing this from a transportation plan of 2006 and this 2024 comprehensive plan before setting out on your development plat plan and selling lots?
Not with the city staff, no.
Okay. Could you give me just a reason why?
We felt that given the nature of that road, the cost of the road, that it's highly unlikely that ever gets built. Honestly, and that's what we were told as well.
Okay. By whom?
Real estate and owner.
Okay. Not anyone on the city side?
No.
Okay. Thank you, Robert. Anything else you want to say? I didn't urge your request to table it.
Come.
Okay.
I do have a question.
Yes, sir.
The alternate route, what are we referring to? Is that just, are we looking at a different entrance?
Well, we've volunteered that we would look at a right-of-way where the property could come from Friendship and go straight across. I'm told that at some point in time that there will be a new water treatment plant, and so connectivity with Friendship. We're asked if that would be something we would look at, and we would certainly do that.
The other question I have, and I've brought that up before, why aren't we trying to come in on 290 instead of going down Gammon Lane? Because that's going to disrupt so many people.
Well,
and I'm sure it's cost. And you have to deal with TxDOT.
I think it's for a luxury project, a Gammon Lane entry is better than a 290 entry.
Well, I would disagree, but that's fine.
We have a couple of people who would like to address the council on this. Thank you, Robert. I'm sorry, I can't make out the name. Can somebody help me here?
Charles Hess.
Who's here to speak on this besides Dr. Braden?
Is it Blue Pink? Real scratchy.
It's your name, Charles.
Is that Charles Alfers? Okay, sorry. Charles Olfers, welcome.
Good morning, Council. Just once again, I want to reiterate the fact that, one, y'all have spent a lot of money having this project viewed by...
Sorry, go ahead.
That's all. Thank you.
Thank y'all for having...
Okay,
we've had this route brought to us by Kenley Horn twice as a preferred route. City staff has recommended it. I'm not sure why we would want to take that away. I know it's just a line in the sand, so to speak. But if you do away with it now, that's going to be gone, and we'll never be able to get it back. This has been a plan that's been in place for over 20 years. Will it be built? Will it not? I don't know. I can't answer that, and I don't think anybody in this room can answer that for certain. But I really steadfast believe that this route needs to stay the same. It was approved. It took many hours from the city council and town hall meetings in the early 2000s to develop this plan. Stick with it, because it's what's being preferred, it's what's recommended. Thank you.
Thank you. Dr. Brighton?
Good morning. I spoke last month on this topic. I own the property just adjacent to the eastern side of the development, and the bypass does go through, or the thoroughfare does run through the northwest corner of our property. Affects about somewhere between 5 and 6 acres. It was meant to go that way because there is a, I don't know if you have a map of it, but there is a pretty big creek, it's a feeder creek that goes right into Barron's Creek, and that's why the thoroughfare was meant to go through the property on our eastern edge, the Lantana Holdings property, and they would have to build another bridge if they came through our property, and there's just not enough room on our property to put the right-of-way, but it does kind of veer into our property at the tail end of the thoroughfare route. I agree with the Kenley Horn study. I mean, I would like to see the bypass off of our property, but I knew that when I bought the property. When I was sold the property from the Feller estate, they told me directly that there was a potential for a thoroughfare route going through here, and not to plan on any kind of permanent structures being built on this area. So we knew it. I don't plan to develop our property. If I did develop it, I would develop it with that in mind, that there is a thoroughfare, perhaps do some, you know, as far as that goes, but I know I can't really put any permanent structure on there. So that's my my big thinking. I'm thinking too that I agree with the Kenley Horn study. I think this is the best route going through. I think it would get us onto Friendship Lane, which then would eventually get you all the way from 16. So it's kind of a 16-16 thoroughfare, not a true bypass, but it would get you. It could eventually get you to the other side of 16 on the southern side of 16. So that's all I have to say. I do agree with route number, the current route that Kenley Horn through our property and through the Lantana Holding property. Thank you.
Thank you.
Council, we received a email. Speaker card. Is Michael Hodges here? Okay. Oh, sorry. It is Michelle. I'm sorry. You know, I'm sorry. I should put my glasses on before I speak in public. Michelle, thank you. Yes. Welcome.
Okay, I'm just going to read what I wrote. I don't know if
okay.
It's been read or not, but I'm going to need my glasses.
Yeah. Makes two of us.
All right, I want to voice my concern over the Gaiman Lane development plat being considered at the May 5th council meeting, specifically the action taken on the Frederick Road Alignment Evaluation Study. I'm respectfully asking that the City Council remove Alternative 3 from the proposed Frederick Road thoroughfare alternatives. Alternative number 3 would significantly impact the property owners along Gaiman Lane from Main Street to Eberly and beyond. The city staff recommended in the agenda for this meeting cites small town sensitive growth as a guiding principle in their recommendation. In the 2024 comprehensive plan, the guiding principle for such growth is stated as follows. Fredericksburg will implement land use patterns and related policies to support its unique community character and natural resources, improve residents' quality of life, and deliver incremental growth that optimizes its infrastructure and service capacity. Choosing to realign the arterial road down Gaiman Lane would not be in accordance with this guiding principle for the following reasons. Number one, I'm sorry, I'm not a public speaker.
You're doing great.
It would be a choice to support corporate growth at the expense of residents who have lived here for years, investing in this community and contributing to the growth and success of this town. Most of my neighbors have lived along this road for generations and have been integral to the growth of this community. I've lived in Fredericksburg for over 22 years and have owned and operated two successful businesses in this time, adding to the economy as well as the business offerings here. We are a part of this community. Number two, it would affect the historical integrity of properties along Gaiman Lane, negatively impacting the unique community character, as stated above, of the neighborhood. There are several properties of historical significance along this route. I own the home at 205 Gaiman Lane, a Bassey Block home, deemed as an individual landmark by the Historical District Design Guidelines and Standards. Impeding on my property would not only diminish the value of my property, but diminish its historical importance as well. Number three, taking property from homeowners along Gaiman Lane would diminish the residents' quality of life rather than improve it. For many of these homeowners, taking land away to allow for a roadway would bring the road to their doorsteps, if not require demolition of buildings. As was stated during the April 7, 2026 City Council meeting, the new owner of the property at 405 Gaiman Lane purchased the property knowing the arterial road went through the property, yet presented a plan without such a road. Moving the arterial road places the burden on the local residents rather than the property owner. It is my opinion that the road should stay as it is. However, should the council decide to allow an alternative roadway, I respectfully ask that Gaiman Lane not be a part of it. Thank you.
Thank you. Michelle, I apologize again for butchering your name and not using my glasses is one of the reasons that it's time for me to go. Yeah, or using them would be good too. All right, anyone else here to speak on this? Because, yeah, Tom. Because even though you didn't sign up, I'm happy to hear you.
Good morning. My name is Tom Musselman. I live on at 904 Friendship Lane. Excuse me. I'm also a member of the Planning and Zoning Commission. On the shelf behind the city manager in every city in Texas, there are studies that cities undertake because they plan. Planning takes many, many years. Not all plans are completed, but planning has to occur if development in the best interest of the community is to occur. The roadway that is to the proposed roadway for the extension of Friendship Lane has been proposed for many, many years. The owner of the property prior to Mr. Radovan knew about the roadway. Mr. Radovan has admitted that they knew about the roadway. One of the concerns Mr. Radovan mentioned at the last meeting was traffic turning off of 290 and going through. If there was ever going to be a northern part of the loop, I really don't think that any kind of 18-wheeler is going to go to Llano from 290. So I don't know that that's an issue. We have a roadway plan. The question is, will it ever get built? That's anybody's guess. But we have a plan that it can be built, and we've had studies done in every study that the city of Fredericksburg has commissioned to look at the transportation plan has said that the best route for connectivity is the one that's on the books right now. So I would urge you to think about the future and to continue to have the northern loop go through where it's currently. Don't do anything now about getting rid of it or abandoning the right of way, because if we abandon that, we don't have legal right of way, but if we abandon that plan, we will never get it back. So think about the future, and thank you very much.
Thank you, Tom. Anyone else? All right. You see on the agenda, you see on the agenda that potential actions on this are to take action on the development plat, including arterial roadway associated with the thoroughfare plan, take potential action on annexation and development agreement. Okay, so now we're into the council discussion questions.
Cliff. P&Z has charged us with approving by the city authorizing removal or an approved alternate roadway. So that action changes the thoroughfare plan and the comp plan. So my question is, how did P&Z come up with the idea of changing the thoroughfare plan and the comp plan on us? Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it makes perfect sense. So if you note how it is worded and how it was worded to the P&Z, the goal of staff and the P&Z is not to remove it from the current comprehensive plan, because that would require reconsideration, stakeholder input for an amendment to that comprehensive plan. The condition basically would provide an alternate route while keeping the current thoroughfare route shown in the comprehensive plan to accommodate the development plat at that time. So the condition was to never remove the thoroughfare from the comprehensive plan as part of your action. It was a condition to accept an alternate route, which then gave an avenue to ultimately sign off on the development plat that was approved with that condition.
Thank you.
The one thing also I always want to note about when you look at the thoroughfare routes, yes, it is a line on the map that's part of a study as part of a comprehensive plan, but it serves a couple purposes from a staff standpoint. We don't look at it just as a relief route. If you look at the way this one was considered, it was also considered as a development route with access along the route. So as a staff, we look at it at any time an individual request comes in for an individual property is, how does that, it was designed really to accommodate development as well. So we want to make sure we don't lose that with any alternate route as we move forward.
Cliff, did the developer present an alternate route as we've requested?
I have not seen an alternate route proposed by the developer at this point. The development plat is the only consideration we have at this point that completely removes it from the plat.
Okay, thank you.
So for this Frederick Road extension, we looked at this in 2004, and then again in 2017, and then again in 2024 with the comp plan, and then we contracted with Kimley Horn to do another special look at just this alignment, and I think we're still out $36,000 from the developer that we've not been reimbursed yet. Is that correct?
So I wasn't part of that, but my understanding is with the consideration of an alternate route, the study was conditioned upon the developer paying for that. I don't believe that bill has been rectified at this point, but that's not my.
That's correct. It's about $36,000.
Okay. I think we've approached this with open eyes and trying to see if there would be a better route that would accommodate this, but I don't see that happening, and I still think the alignment one is the way to go.
I agree.
Well,
Well, originally, I think he asked us to delay this or table it for another meeting, but I'm not so sure that's necessary.
Well, that's for the development agreement that has a whole host of issues that y'all can work out later. But I think for this thing with the thoroughfare plan, that's something that can be addressed today.
My hope is that we can act on this today.
I make a motion to deny request P2425 for the lack of an acceptance of an alternate route.
Second.
A motion second. Any further questions or discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. All right. Item 5. Jim, I'm sorry we keep punting you on your update. Chamber of Commerce update's been pulled for the sake of time today. Thank you. Appreciate that. I'm assuming it'll be on the next. Oh, thank you. It'll soon be on the next agenda. I know I've skipped one. Consideration acceptance of the. Oh, is this the audit report? Oh, sorry. Want to hear all about that? Who's here for that? Do you have a representative?
Yes. Kevin,
there you
is
are.
Here. Yes, for Mike Bailey.
I'm just making a big mess of this meeting today, Kevin. I'm really sorry. It'll get better next week. Kevin, welcome. Thank you. I assume you are Kevin.
Yes, ma'am. Yes. Yeah. Good morning.
Good morning.
Our IT department has the presentation. I'm sure it'll be up here just shortly.
Okay. IT, we're looking for that report or that. Thank you.
Is the clicker here? It could be right in front of me and I would miss it. Oh, there we go. Thank you. Good morning. My name is Kevin Randolph, and I'm with Ott Bailey. Our firm performed the city's financial statement audit as of the fiscal year ended September 30th, 2025. I've got a brief presentation, and I'll be glad to entertain any questions. With that, I'll get started. I want to go over the audit opinion first, which is the purpose of an audit is for our firm to give you an opinion on the financial statements. We issued what we call an unmodified opinion. That's a clean opinion on the financial statements. Means that we found the financial misstatements to be consistent with generally accepted accounting principles. We had no findings or internal control deficiencies this year, so it was a good, clean audit. I do like to point out that management of the city is responsible for the preparation of the financial statements, and that includes internal controls over preparation of the financial statements. As an auditor, it's our responsibility to provide reasonable assurance that the financial statements are free of material misstatements, and again, issuing an unqualified opinion, we did that. I'll go over the numbers briefly. This is the statement of net position. This is a balance sheet as of September 30th, 2025. It's a listing of assets, liabilities, with the difference being net position or equity. Total assets was $160.1 million. Approximately $101 million of that is what we call capital assets. That's land, buildings, equipment. So that's the biggest chunk of your assets is those long-term assets. There's approximately $43 million in cash and investments, and deferred inflows of resources was approximately $6 million. That's contributions and calculations in your pension liability that haven't been absorbed into the plan yet due to the difference in when the plan is valued by the actuary in year end. Liabilities, $76.494 million. Approximately $69 million of that is long-term liabilities, like bonds, compensated absences due to employees, finance purchases, things like that. So those are long-term liabilities. It'll be paid over time. If I deduct that, I'm left with net position or equity of $83.6 million. Look at revenue. Revenues this year, $351 million. Last year, $64.521 million. Broken that down to the biggest categories. Property taxes, $7.7 million. Sales taxes, $9.5 million. Other taxes of $8 million. Approximately $7 million of that's hotel taxes. So the biggest chunk of that's hotel taxes. Charges for services were just under $36 million. That's going to be the city's proprietary fund, so water and sewer, electric, landfill, EMS, such as those services that people pay for directly. Grants from other governments, $3.2 million. Interest and investment income earned on the cash and investments of $1.3 million. Other income of $3.6 million. So overall, revenue increased about $5 million this year. Expenditures, total expenses last year were $58.9 million. This year they were $62.3 million. Broken that into the big categories here. Electric, water, sewer, landfill, and EMS, you can see those. Those are the city's proprietary funds that are paid for by the customers using those services. Streets through fire, that's the city's general government, which are paid by taxpayers and other revenue sources. Went up around $4 million this year. Police was up a little. The biggest increases, though, were in the proprietary funds, things such as electric and water and sewer and EMS. Look at fund balance in the city's governmental funds. Fund balance last year was just under $20 million. Fund balance this year was $20.928 million, so went up about $1 million. A portion of that fund balance is restricted legally, means it can only be used for those legally restricted purposes. You can't just use it for general things, and that was $4.798 million. That's restricted for debt service to pay off future debt and then some construction and court technology and tourism. That's because the revenue that drove that fund balance came from restricted sources. Unassigned fund balance can be used to fund the city's ongoing obligations, and that totaled $16.1 million. One thing we look at is unassigned fund balance is a percentage of average monthly expenditures in the general fund. You're at 5.8, which I think is a good, healthy number. The city's proprietary funds, so water, sewer, electric, EMS, landfill, I look at their net position or equity. It increased from $43.3 to $46.7 million. Biggest chunk of that is net investment in capital assets. That's just all the assets that those funds have where that equity is set aside for that. That's really all I had for the numbers. We do also issue a report over internal controls over financial reporting. So we look at your procedures over how you prepare your financial reporting, and we look at your controls and your processes and look for any issues or concerns. We had no material weaknesses, no significant deficiencies. We had no instances of noncompliance either. So this is a really good audit. That's all I had. I'll be glad to answer any questions, but first I just wanted to thank you for the opportunity to work with you. This was our second year working with the city. First year of audit's always the hardest because, you know, we get to know you, you get to know us. So this year went really smoothly. Last year did too, frankly, but the second year always just helps. So you have an established relationship. And so I thought the audit went really well. It was really clean. We had no issues. Our main contact is Krista. Worked through her and her staff, and I think they did an impeccable job of getting ready. They were ready when we got here in February, and that always helps. So they had things ready for us, and we could hit the ground running. I particularly like to compliment them on their capital asset accounting. You have about $101 million in capital assets. I do a lot of local government audits, and frankly, it's an area that's often a mess, just poor record keeping and poor accounting. That did not happen here, and it always gives me more confidence if I know that you can take care of your capital assets. You probably can take care of the rest of your accounting too, and that happened here. So I would like to commend Krista and her staff for great preparation and execution on this audit.
Thank you for those comments. That's what we think too.
Yes, so I agree.
Council comments, questions?
Kevin, thank you for the report. Can we get a copy of that?
Yes, I brought hard copies this morning with me. Okay, Krista has those. Yes, sir.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I've heard a lot of audit presentations. That was excellent. Thank you. Very well done. Hit the high spots and well explained. Clinton, Garrett, and Krista, thank you for taking such good care of us financially. That's huge. And your department. Just thank you. Anything else? Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you. You'll have a nice day. Appreciate you.
Make a motion to accept the audit as presented.
Second.
Motion second to accept the audit report. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. All right, now we're at 9C, update on the new curbside bulk and large item pickup program. Is this you?
It is, okay, yes, sir.
Good.
Good morning, Mayor and Council. Excited to use this as an opportunity to present to not only Council, to the public listening to the presentation this morning, and those in the audience, the city's first bulk trash pickup program, which starts next Monday. Our public information office has created some really nice flyers, which are hanging in the city hall that you see here. Just wanted to kind of highlight some of the accepted items and not accepted items. The accepted items being furniture, mattresses, big bulky household items, carpets, kind of stuff that's been laying around the house that you want to get rid of, appliances, those sort of things. So put that next to the curb in our street, and sanitation departments will be out picking those items up. Some of the items that we are not accepting, stuff like glass or hazardous materials, construction debris, concrete, those sort of things, tires, large electronics, again, because of the glass and old TVs and so forth, and just a number of different things. There was a good press release in the newspaper last week, again, showing these items, and we do have a list of these on our website as well. So be happy to answer any questions from the public or from the council. Did want to talk a little bit about the schedule and what that looks like. So the schedule for this is going to be based on your trash day. So it's laid out pretty well, but for example, if your trash day, your regular trash day is on Monday, your pickup will be that first day, Monday, May 11th. And so it's highlighted on that schedule. Be happy to answer any questions you all might have. It's kind of our first, so we're going to use it as an opportunity to learn and make, you know, any improvements for next year. But happy to answer questions from council. If you have questions from the public, feel free to reach out to myself or our staff, and we can certainly address those questions.
So as you say, it's our first question, or the continues to be. I think a lot of people don't know about it, that you do get a once-a-year free pass to the city dump if you're, of course, a resident of the city.
Yeah, so. Thank you, Tony. That's correct. We do not plan to take that voucher program away. So for all of our local residents that have a city trash service, you can go to utility billing and get one free voucher to haul up to a ton of waste to our landfill free of charge. So utility billing keeps track of that. That's an annual program. So visit with the utility billing clerks, and they can certainly get you that voucher.
Chris, thank you very much. This is a great addition to the services that the city provides the residents.
Yes, sir. Looking forward to it.
Yes, thank you, Chris. I'd like, and I discussed this with Clinton, I'd also like to see us have a hazardous waste collection day once a year, if we can start working on that as well.
Yes,
thank
sir.
You.
Yes, sir.
Thanks for making this happen, Chris. So excited.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Item 10 is city manager reviewing future agenda.
Okay, Mayor, Council, coming up next, is that Tuesday now, Letty, the 12th? We have the canvassing of the unofficial results of the city's general election, 10:30. I believe the mayor and Councilman Watson will be present. Coming up May 19th, regular council meeting, ordinance canvassing the city's general election. We'll have our annual State of the City water address, our water update report from Public Works staff and the Underground Water District. Here, we also have approval of the 2027 budget calendar. We've been working to put that together. On the 19th, we'll also have the regular CVB quarterly update along with the chamber update that same day. LCRA item for executive session, and we will have the Native Plant Society here to present on a project they're proposing on Main Street and other areas off of Main. June 2nd, we have board and commission appointments at a regular meeting and a professional services contract for a North Lano Street waterline project. Coming up next week, we also have coffee with the city manager, a special guest from TxDOT, their district engineer, Austin district engineer. Tucker Ferguson will be with us. Moving on to the 19th, we'll also have a couple of special programs that day a little bit later in the day. From 3 to 6, we will have a City Hall open house and ribbon cutting, so a lot more detail to come on that. Citizen University coming up on the 26th, Parks and Recreation special events. June 5th, the city's annual employee picnic coming up. And then finally in the June-July time frame, a little bit more detail on the adopted budget calendar. But we'll kick off the budget, strategic planning, and then also discuss the UDC with the new council. That's it. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Letty, since the mayor stated this is his last meeting, will we swear in the new individuals right off?
So what will happen on the 19th? The mayor will still be here. He just doesn't know that. But he will still be here as our mayor. He will call the meeting to order, and thereafter is when he presents the certificate of elections to the newly elected council members and mayor. And then at that time, after they're swearing in, he takes his seat in the audience. We told him he could stay for the rest of the meeting. He said he had to get somewhere. We don't know where, but I told him there was a lot of wineries on 290.
Tim Dooley.
So thereafter, he will not be here, but he will kick off that meeting.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bobby. I will wear my glasses. Anything else, Clinton? Okay, we do have an executive session item that we've been advised can wait until later date. Thank you, Maria. Anything else, Council? I would just like to express my appreciation to Emily Kirchner. She has been a light to me in the process of the 4 years that I've worked with her. We came on together in 2022, and I've always admired her integrity and her ability to sort through issues in a quick way. She has lots of experience. And as an old guy, I've really appreciated having someone of a different generation as part of the team. So congratulations to you, Emily, for a well-done job. I look forward to hearing good things about what's going on in the city forward. I am so impressed and pleased with the staff. It has been terrific to work with you and everybody. But since Emily and I are emptying our chairs, I know I'm going to be here to just call the meeting to order and do the first thing and so forth. But it's been a good ride. Thank you for those of you who have given me good words of encouragement as I've served these years. Anything further? Having done all the business on the posted agenda, we are adjourned.
Mayor, I believe we may have executive session. Maria? Okay.
No, she said that it could wait.
Okay, great. She had told me differently earlier. Thank you.
Thank you, Maria.